Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 10 through 18. Bible said, then the disciples went back to their homes, talking about John and Peter, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, which is Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are able, Lord, to make changes in our situations, Lord. And some of us come here this morning, Lord, with dire situations, Lord. And I pray, Lord, by an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, to what you have for us, Lord, because there is craziness going on around us. And Lord, we want to be able to put our focus on something. Many of us come in here this morning distracted by what is going on around us. We want to put our focus on you this morning. Help us to do that. And some of us come in here this morning just lost, looking for anything that would bring peace. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would meet us in this place, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, Friday night, I was really looking forward to Friday night all week. Joe had his second football game. He's ninth grade. He's never played tackle football before. He's 6'2", 190. The fit of health takes after his father. And that's it? Okay, that was a little bit of a humor there. But anyway, he's playing his second game. His first game that he played was up in L.A., and we didn't go up there because had being home late on Saturday, all that kind of stuff. And so it's like, all right, get up there. We go to Del Norte. It's a high school up in North County, up in Poway. And the game was even going to be televised on TV, PBR. Right? We didn't know what that was, and they kept on saying that at the stadium. It's like, oh yeah. You know, and I know, see, there is 32 players on the varsity and the junior varsity team at Horizon School. And one of Roki's boys, Justin's, hoping to be added on, make it 33. And I looked out during the game, and I noticed at least 50 helmets on the other side. I mean, they had more cheerleaders than we had players. I kid you not, man. The whole side of this school was filled with cheerleaders going crazy. And I'm just excited going, okay, watch Joe win. Watch Joe win. Well, they lost 29-0. Less than what I was hoping for. Can I get a witness on that? Nobody wants to see 29-0. And I talked to Joe after. I mean, they have fumbles. I mean, these guys would be running away. They had two or three 40 to 50-yard losses in one play. It's just like, what are you guys doing? They had a snap over the punter's head for a safety. Ah, what are you doing? So I talked to Joe, and they got home late. And I talked to him the next morning. And I said, hey, so what'd you think? And he said, I was doing my job. And in fact, for films the next morning, the only group that got any kind of kudos was the offensive line. And the offensive line was doing their job. But there was pandemonium around them. Nobody else was doing their job. Guys ad-libbing, guys dropping the ball, guys fumbling the ball, guys doing all kinds of wrong stuff. And sometimes it can feel like that in our lives. Amen? That we are surrounded by pandemonium. That there is just sin beset us. And it doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just kind of crazy out there. We're in a series on the reality of the resurrection. The title of today's message is Figuring It Out, Man, because it can be confusing. Amen? Trying to put all this stuff together. And we're going to take a look at the end of the Gospel of John, three, maybe four messages, depending on how the Lord sorts that out for us. And today we take a look at the tomb. And you know, take a look at John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. That's what everybody preaches on Easter. And this is kind of Easter stuff, but we're going to take a look at the resurrection. And we're going to take a look at Mary today, crying, wailing at the tomb because Jesus' body is gone. And there's just like pandemonium going on around her, and she's just trying to hold together. You know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus' body on Friday, washed it, wrapped it in cloths, put it in the burial tomb, and they wrap it in spices, and maybe 75 pounds of spices. 75 pounds! A whole lot more than this. Amen? I mean, can you imagine 75? Can you imagine a sack of flour? Or a sack of rice, 75 pounds is a big old sack of rice, amen? And they would use those spices and wrap bodies, not just Jesus' body, but Lazarus' body, everybody's body would be wrapped in this stuff for the smell. And so they would continue to prep that body, and they were going back on Sunday because Saturday was the Sabbath and nobody could do any work. And Mary was the leader of these women that were going back, and they go back and they find, hey! You know, and it's almost like, you know, I talked with my sister here. Her aunt passed away yesterday, right? And there's just, when somebody passes away, it just seems like life just stops, yeah. You know? Other people go and say, how can you just be going along with life, man? Yeah. Everything just stops. And so Mary is just kind of going through the paces, just trying to hold together. She's got a crew with her. They're going to do this thing. They're going to get it done. They got to wake all through the Sabbath. They get the spices. Can't even get the spices. Can't do any work. Get the spices going early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. And he's gone. Like, what is this? Some dumb joke? I don't need this. Just let me just get through this morning so I can fall apart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever feel like that, man? And so she's there, and she's just being overwhelmed by her life. And sometimes we get overwhelmed by our lives. And she was overwhelmed because she did not understand the fact of the resurrection. And sometimes we are overwhelmed in our lives because we do not understand the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the meaning that it has for us in our lives. Amen? So, we're going to be focusing on the reality of the resurrection, and we're going to work on trying to figure it out. Amen? Today, we're going to take a look at three things: a mistaken response, a mistaken identity, and a mistaken reaction. Okay? All right. Starting off with a mistaken response. The disciples went back. Again, Peter and John. They're looking around. They can't figure it out. They're looking at the clothes. They go back to where they're staying in Jerusalem. And Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And life oftentimes can leave us broken. Life oftentimes can just be incredibly cruel. Mary had had these challenging days. Jesus had been arrested on Thursday. Put on trial on Friday, Thursday night, Friday morning trial before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate. And people were lying on him. I mean, it was so apparent that Pilate said, I just want to let this guy go. God is speaking to his wife saying, don't mess with him. And he's going, man, I'm bound by all these people. It was a sham. And the followers of Jesus were going, look, what a sham this is. They can't go through with this. But they convicted him. And then they flogged him. 40 lashes, internal organs, bones probably exposed after that whipping that he got. Put a crown of thorns on his head and beat him up and then hung him on a cross. Now, can you imagine if that had happened to your loved one? Can you imagine just the drama? Can you imagine Mary seeing him on the cross? The impact it would have on her heart. The impact it would have on her soul. And so that is all being let out at the side of the tomb. Just let me get through the next couple hours. It was a puzzling time. Peter and John had left her all alone. And she felt all alone. But Jesus will never leave you alone, folks. The Bible says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So as the world presses in around you, don't give up. That is a mistaken response to the challenge of this world, to the challenge of our culture. Don't give up hope. Amen? If you are struggling today, if you are in here today and you're going, I prayed with somebody for a job, we've been praying for places, all kinds of stuff, healing, Jesus knows what is ailing you. Amen? And by his stripes we are healed. He has provision for us. He says that if he feeds the ravens, the birds of the air, he'll feed you. That if he clothes the flowers of the field, the lilies of the field, he'll clothe you. And so whatever ails you this morning, there is hope because of the resurrection of our Lord. Amen? All right. We can miss the important stuff. We can get so wrapped up by the drama that is going around us, and we can miss the important stuff. Mary, this is an incredible picture of somebody missing the important stuff. Amen? Bible says, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white. Roki, would that freak you out? Amen. Seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot, and they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. Now, check it out. She is talking to angels and has almost no reaction. Can you guys help me out here? I mean, I tell you what, anytime else somebody's talking to an angel, what do? They fall on their face. Oh, I'm talking to an angel here. They are freaking out. And one of the angels say, hey, get up. And I'm wondering if they felt dissed. We're angels here. Can't you at least fall down? She was so distraught with what is going on in her life, she totally missed the importance of the situation. Her grief is overwhelming her. They have taken my Lord away. And that is a complete misread of the situation. Because Jesus had not been taken away. Jesus had been raised from the dead. Can I get a witness on that, please? Now, why was it a misread on the situation? Because they had been told. Jesus said, hey, the Son of Man will be taken by a man. He's going to be killed and on the third day raised from the dead. And they all missed it. Mary missed it. And the angels are talking to her, said, who are you looking for? They've taken Jesus away. And folks, I want to, there's also a misread on the situation. Jesus surrendered himself. Can I get a witness on that? Let me give you a scripture. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Nobody took anything from Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? That Jesus submitted himself, humbled himself, and allowed himself to be abused by men. But I am telling you, folks, that the resurrection has transformed situations, and nobody is taking Jesus anywhere ever again. Can I get a witness on that? That Jesus is raised from the dead, that he's been given the name that is above every name, that he is seated at the right hand of power, and nobody takes him anywhere. Amen. That he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and that he is coming back in power and in might. And the Bible tells us that he's just waiting to make his enemies a footstool. And nobody's taking Jesus anywhere. Amen? Amen. I was talking to Joe, you know, about the game. And I said, so did you learn anything? Because realistically, we're watching films. They got these, they watch films on the internet. And I go, what are you doing on the internet? Joe, I'm watching films. They got to watch the tendencies, you know. Got to find out tendencies of these guys. They'll tell you if they go right. Tell you if they go left. Now, the team that they were playing, No, 50 guys. I didn't count them. Might have been more than 50. Probably, 50, let's just say 50 guys. I mean, they had shiny helmets. And I looked over there and said, what? Got little sparkles coming out from all over the place over there. And then I think it was Justin said that they have, that that school has a freshman team, has a JV team, and has a varsity team. Okay? Now, my son's a freshman. He's playing in his second game. And he's playing against this dude who was probably a senior that played on the freshman team, played on the JV team, maybe started 2 years on the varsity team. And I said, so what did you learn? And he said, you know what, Dad? I started getting a little bit ticked in the second half. I didn't like getting all them points run up on us. And you know what? I just started pushing that guy around. It felt kind of good. Jesus ain't going to get pushed around by anybody. Jesus is seated at the power, at the seat of power in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. Amen? So when she said, they've taken my Lord, Jesus doesn't get taken anywhere, folks. Amen? Amen? Thank you. See, now, why is that important? Why am I teaching you that? Because I tell you what, all the pandemonium around us can make you think that Jesus can't handle it. Jesus got no problem handling it. We just got to learn how to put our hand in the hand of the Lord and gain some spiritual strength to overcome our situations rather than just punking out and just letting being overwhelmed, just start wailing and crying and thinking Jesus left us alone. Can I get a witness on that? You have got all the power you need to overcome your situation, so quit getting beat up. Amen. Sorry, okay, I just wanted a bigger amen than I got on that. All right, so we got a mistaken, what do we got? Mistaken response, we got a mistaken identity. Mistaken response, mistaken identity, mistaken reaction. We have challenges to recognition. Challenges to recognition. At this time, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Okay, let me start this over again. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Challenges to recognition. And what an incredible letdown. I mean, it is resurrection morning. God has set this up. All four of the Gospels have Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And that was a choice. I mean, God could have shown to Pontius Pilate. Just said, hey, here I am. Right? He could have shown up in Rome, showed up to Caesar. He could have shown to Peter or John and said, you're the one I want to lead all this. Could have shown to the rich people, Joseph Arimathea, he's got money. Show to him first. We'll get a step ahead. But no, he says, I'm going to show up and reveal myself to Mary Magdalene, a woman who was a prostitute, who was transformed, who loves me much. Amen? And I got to think in heaven, you know, maybe there was billboards up in heaven, you know, because the Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven at one sinner who repents. Amen? So they're watching. You know, maybe like a big screen up there. I don't know how it works. And maybe it's like, hey, today, 6:30 a.m., Jesus reveals himself. Resurrected Son of God reveals himself to humanity. Don't be late. And all the angels are sitting there, right? And it's like, hush, comes over all the angels. And maybe the angels that are sitting at the head and the foot of where Jesus was, right? You know, they're talking to her, and they go, right behind you. And Mary turns around. And all the angels in heaven are going, oh. And she says, have you seen Jesus? And maybe up in heaven, an angel's sliding in late. He goes, what'd she say? I missed it. And I think all of heaven goes, and the guy turns around and says, she thinks he's the gardener. I think we can trivialize who Christ is. the gardener, the guy who takes care of the tombs. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How much more can you miss it? Can I get a witness on that, please? Do you know where he is? We can miss who Christ is in our lives. There are many who would make Jesus something different than what he is. There are many people who say, hey, there's many ways to heaven, and Jesus is but one. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says there's only one way to get to heaven, that's me. There are some who would say that he is one of a long line of prophets, and he's not even the biggest one. But he is God the Son, God's only begotten Son. Amen? But there are some who say, you know what? You can do whatever you want. And Jesus will forgive you because he is merciful. And the Bible says, 1 Peter, they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. But that does not give you a license to sin. Amen? That is a call to righteousness and holiness. If you've got a struggle with sin today, he knows about it. We can help you with that. Many of the people that are here today, I am one of them, have come out of a life beset with sin. We have people who have been where you are and can help you along the way. But it's going to take some humility and say, Lord, I need some help, and we'll get you that help, and you can be right before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The resurrection changes things, folks. See, because John tells us why he's writing this book. He says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you may have life in his name. That is who Jesus truly is. God the Son of God. He has transformed your existence by his death on the cross and by being raised from the dead. Amen? Because the Bible says that you are dead in your transgressions and that there is new life for you because he was raised from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
I'll take that hallelujah there, Sandra. I'll take that. Now, mistaken identity, Jesus helps her out, calls her by name. Calls her by name. Jesus said to her, Mary. Would you love to hear Jesus say, Sandra.
Oh, yeah.
Linda. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus takes that first step. Jesus calls out to her. Jesus knows her name. Of course he knows her name. She's been hanging with him for 2-3 years. But notice it is her name that unlocks the identity of the Lord, that he recognizes. She recognizes his voice and the inflection that she puts on her name. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
There is recognition when somebody calls your name. The Bible tells us that Jesus knows your name. Bible tells us that Jesus knows the number of the hairs on your head. Bible says that he has a new name that only he knows that he's going to give to those who follow him in righteousness. Real question, what are you going to do when you hear Jesus call your name? What is your response? Mary cried out, Teacher! And in that there is recognition, I think there's surrender, and there is great relief. I remember in my life, I had come to a point of despair. I wasn't crying out, wailing like Mary was, but I was at the end of my life. And I, by no means, was a religious man, but I was walking down the street right across from Cal Expo in Sacramento, and I said, Lord, and in that there was recognition. I said, Lord, you can have my life because I have destroyed it. And there is surrender. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. And I was transformed. And there was relief. And so when you come to understand who Christ truly is, I had no clue about the resurrection, but I knew I was done. I said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And he took it up. And I have never been the same again.
Amen?
Amen? So, recognition, surrender, and relief. Hallelujah. All right. A mistaken reaction. Follow me on this. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. And, you know, we have this saying in our culture, anything goes.
Yeah.
But Jesus says anything does not go. That there are some limitations in a proper response to him. Now, what was she doing? She went Rabboni, and she went and ran and started hugging on him and grabbing onto him. And it was a display of affection and love and outpouring. And in that moment, hope sprung to life in her. And Jesus said, don't do that. You might be thinking, well, that's not very considerate on Jesus' part. She's just trying to show her love and appreciation. How uncaring. Could have been a little bit more considerate. But I'll tell you today that Jesus is as considerate as they come, folks. But I also want to let you know that there are things that we think are appropriate. There are things that we think are appropriate that Jesus tells us to stop. And that as part of the resurrection, Jesus brings correction. So I ask you a question. What do you do when Jesus calls your name? What do you do when Jesus brings correction? What is your response? Because a resurrection changes things. Amen? All right. Go instead to my brothers. Go and say, go do something else. Because sometimes Jesus might tell you to do something else. Amen? Amen? See, Jesus brings correction. Jesus brings direction. What are you going to do when Jesus brings direction in your life, saying, not only do I not want you to do this, but I want you to do this? I think some of you, he might say, I'd love to have you be on time for church. Aaron was talking about, some of you were so late, you didn't even hear Aaron talking about being on time for church. But you know what it does? Let's see. In fact, you were here early, right? On time, right? Do you enjoy the worship songs? See, some of you don't even know that we do songs before the announcements. You've never been here that early. And I'm telling you, the worship team works hard on those songs, and they are an incredible blessing. And when you don't show, it's just not a blessing to them, and they're working hard. Amen? It's like, oh, he's being mean to us. Jesus has a job for Mary. He says, go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene, okay, new paragraph. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And Jesus had a job for Mary. Time to spread the word. Time to spread the message. Go to the brothers and tell them. Go to my brothers. Jesus brings correction, Jesus brings direction, and Jesus brings a change to Mary's life. And I believe that he would change your life today. But what happens when, because of the resurrection, he wants to bring a change to your life? Are you okay with that?
Amen.
I hope so. Because I tell you what, you'll enjoy life better in a changed life. I sure am. Now, it ain't an easy life. Can I get a witness on that from anybody that is following the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, Roki's up here shaking with $50 oil. Thinking, man, I could turn this $50 into lunch. No, but he got free Padres ticket. God will bless you, amen? The resurrection changes things. He says, go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Because the resurrection makes it possible for you to come into the family of God. For your situation in life to be transformed. And as I'm reading this, I got to ask a question. Why did he ask Mary to do this? I mean, Jesus can fly, right? I mean, realistically, he can like just beam over, boom. Why didn't Jesus just beam over, transmute, whatever you want to call it, fly over there, whatever, fly over to where Peter and John were? Say, yo, here I am. In fact, why didn't he just show up 10 minutes earlier when Peter and John were still there? And you know what? Does that sound simple? Yeah. But I tell you what, God's plan is not about simple. God's plan was about using this former prostitute whom God had transformed. Think about Paul. We talked about Paul last week, 1 Corinthians, right? Paul wrote 12, 13 books of the Bible, depending on who wrote Hebrews. Former murderer of the church. Pharisee of Pharisees. Jesus revealed himself to him, transformed his life. I don't know what your challenge is today. I don't know why. I think I got a clue why Mary was asked to go tell the brothers, because she was a part of God's plan. God's plan from the creation of the world was probably not that she thought he was the gardener, but it was the fact that she would be the one that would spread the word to the apostles, to the disciples, that Jesus has risen from the dead. She had a place in the plan of God. And I have a message for you today, that you have a place in the plan of God. For that to happen, he's going to bring correction, and he's going to bring direction. He will speak your name. He'll say, Belteshazzar. He'll say, Stephen. I have a program, and I want you to be part of it. It's going to take surrender of the situations in your life, but I will call you to greatness. What do you do when Jesus calls your name? What does it mean to you? There's pandemonium out there. There's craziness out there. Lord says, James, I got a plan for you. Why? He says, it's a lost and dying world out there. And I'm looking for people who would participate with me in the plan of the resurrection and a plan of redemption. And I hope in the midst of that, if you come in here in despair this morning, that there is hope. Hope that is birthing itself in your heart. That Christ is calling your name this morning. Would you come up and play for a second, Lisa? Some of you come in here this morning and you have not heard Christ call your name before. You come in here surrounded by despair, come in here going, I am at the end of my rope. I feel like Mary today. I just feel like crying and wailing, and I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. And this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is birthing in your soul hope. Some of you are in here and you have heard God call your name and you have responded to God calling your name, and he is bringing correction. He's saying, my son, my daughter, my child, don't do this anymore. And some of you, he's speaking your name and bringing direction. I want you to add this in. I want you to start doing this. And I don't know which is you, but I know that he's speaking to your heart this morning. That he is speaking your name. I have this for you, my child. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are able and awesome and mighty. Lord, that you have words of correction, words of direction, Lord, but the word that we long to hear is my name, Lord. Do you speak my name, Lord? Do you bring comfort to my situation, Lord, and bring direction to my life? Or maybe you come in here this morning and you are totally tripping out. You came in here and you felt in despair as you walked in saying, Lord, I need a touch from you this morning. And he called out your name. And you feel like I did walking the streets of Sacramento saying, Lord, I've so destroyed my life. I give you my life, Lord. I give you my life.